For years it has stood there, in the protection of a mighty oak tree, under which the old venerable clergyman had often sat, with children listening to his stories. The young chestnut tree had also listened to the stories, for the dryad who lived in it was a child also. She remembered the time when the tree was so little that it only projected a short way above the grass and ferns around. These were as tall as they would ever be, but the tree grew every year and enjoyed the air and the sunshine and drank the dew and the rain. Several times it was also, as it must be, well shaken by the wind and the rain, for that is part of education. The dryad rejoiced in her life, and rejoiced in the sunshine, and the singing of the birds, but she was most rejoiced at human voices. She understood the language of men, as well as she understood that of animals. Butterflies, cockchafers, dragonflies, everything that could fly came to pay a visit. They could all talk. They told of the village, of the vineyard, of the forest, of the old castle with its parks and canals and ponds. Down in the water dwelt also living beings which, in their way, could fly under the water from one place to another, beings with knowledge and delineation. They said nothing at all. They were so clever. And the swallow, who had dived, told about the pretty little goldfish of the thick turbot, the fat brill, and the old carp. The swallow could describe all that very well, but self is the man, she said. One ought to see these things oneself. But how was the dryad ever to see such beings? She was obliged to be satisfied with being able to look over the beautiful country and see the busy industry of men. It was glorious, but most glorious of all when the old clergyman sat under the oak tree and talked of France and of the great deeds of her sons and daughters, whose names will be mentioned with admiration through all time. Then the dryad heard of the shepherd girl, Joan of Arc, and of Charlotte Corday. She heard about Henry IV and Napoleon I. She heard names whose echo sounds in the hearts of the people. The village children listened attentively, and the dryad no less attentively. She became a schoolchild with the rest. In the clouds that went sailing by, she saw, picture by picture, everything that she heard talked about. The cloudy sky was her picture book. She felt so happy in beautiful France, the fruitful land of genius, with the crater of freedom. But in her heart, the sting remained that the bird, that every animal that could fly, was much better off than she. Even the fly could look about more in the world, far beyond the dryad's horizon. France was so great and so glorious, but she could only look across a little piece of it. The land stretched out, worldwide, with vineyards, forests, and great cities. Of all these, Paris was the most splendid and the mightiest. The birds could get there, but she, never. Among the village children was a little ragged poor girl, but a pretty one to look at. She was always laughing or singing and twining red flowers in her black hair. "Don't go to Paris," the old clergyman warned her. "Poor child, if you go there, it will be your ruin." But she went for all that. The dryad often thought of her, for she had the same wish and felt the same longing for the great city. The dryad's tree was bearing its first chestnut blossoms. The birds were twittering around them in the most beautiful sunshine. Then a stately carriage came rolling along that way, and in it sat a grand lady driving the spirited, light-footed horses. On the back seat, a little smart groom balanced himself. The dryad knew the lady, and the old clergyman knew her also. He shook his head gravely.